But my question was, in somebody who progresses after an autologous transplant, I think we now have two commercially approved agents kind of in that space, lenalidomide and bortezomib. And I'm wondering, outside of clinical trials, do you use those agents? In what order do you use them? How do you use those agents?
So I think we can just, again, sort of poll the group, starting with Andy.
So it's hard outside of a clinical trial. I mean, one, I would still find a way to look for ibrutinib in this patient population. It is so active, at least my anecdote of treating several patients with mantle cell. Now, if that wasn't available for whatever reason, I think I would also, at the other end of the spectrum, look at still allogeneic transplants. This patient is older, but this is one, even in early auto failures, that I really think allo has a role and will cure patients. I mean, obviously, depending on the match and comorbidities of the patient. So outside of that, yes, bortezomib FDA approved, now lenalidomide. I've not been a fan of single agent bortezomib in this. I think one, partly tolerability, although you could argue a sub-Q dosing is better. I've typically used bortezomib in combination.
Mike, what are your thoughts about this, and specifically in terms of John's questions of sequencing lenalidomide and bortezomib?
Right. So if we look back just, you know, a few months ago in a patient like this who had relapsed after induction R-CHOP and then an auto transplant had an early relapse, I mean, you know, typically you expect to get 3 years median out of an auto. So this is a quick recurrence. In a person who's in her late 60s, pushing 70 at that point, I probably wouldn't be thinking an allo, even reduced intensity for that patient. We could have the discussion, but it would be a rare 70-year-old that I would nudge that direction. So I'd be thinking about sequential therapy, and until recently, we would have given sub-Q bortezomib, and we always start with at least a cycle or two of the twice a week, 2 weeks on, 1 week off. But if they respond to that and they're tolerating it, then we'll usually go to the once a week. Don't typically add rituximab to that, but some do, and that's reasonable. You know, nowadays, depending on whether the patient has some neuropathy coming into this, I think lenalidomide is, you know, it's convenient, it's oral, it's got good activity. We took part in the study that you have cited here, Andre Gua presented at ASH this past year, and we updated that at EHA. That's in press now in JCO. But it's got about a 30% response rate, and there's about another 30% of patients who have stable disease. So that is a very convenient option for patients, and if you get a responder, you can maintain them on that for some time. So I would say, depending on the patient and circumstances, both the disease and patient convenience, to use one of the two approved agents. I also agree, though, that if we had a clinical study available for them, these new agents are quite active. I had a very similar patient in her late 40s, very advanced mantle cell, leukemic phase, high tumor burden. She got actually hyper-CVAD and an auto and relapsed at about 9 months after therapy, went on to ibrutinib on clinical trial. She'd not had any other therapy after the relapse, prompt remission that lasted 2 years, and then had a rapid progression through the drug at that point, but more than twice as long a response to ibrutinib than she had to hyper-CVAD transplant.
Andy?
I should have mentioned, I have an almost identical patient to this, Jonathan, except he didn't have an auto. He was well into his 70s and failed multiple cytotoxics, three regimens, including the aforementioned CDA bortezomib. He responded but progressed. Went on the lenalidomide study that is impressed at JCO, progressed. I mean, he was really at the end of his rope. I mean, had borderline cytopenias, didn't have MDS, had massive subcutaneous tumor masses in his areola, this 20-centimeter mass wrapping around his waist, just incredible tumor burden. And the long story short, on a ibrutinib clinical trial, is in a CR right now, and he's been on study 8 months. I mean, just really remarkable activity.
Yeah, it harkens back to this concept of, you know, the best option sometimes is being on a clinical trial and, you know, what that means to docs in practice right now. Because, you know, we're here talking about these agents and this situation. And, you know, tomorrow will be, a couple weeks ago, we had a bunch of people in here talking about renal cell. I mean, the oncologists in practice, I think, has a real challenge, you know, trying to figure out how to get access to these drugs for their patients.